It's 5:15 in the morning, and my father is waiting outside my door. As I open it, I'm struck by his size. In my late 20s, I'm now bigger than Dad, but I don't feel it. In my mind, I still come up only to his shoulder. He has the weathered quality of a lifelong outdoorsman, his skin like tanned leather, a bit worn, but hardened by the elements. "Bushveld morning, best thing in the world," he says with a smile. Dad passes me a shotgun and a handful of shells, and we casually begin our morning stroll upriver towards the safari lodge. At this time of year, it's best to be at it early, as by mid-morning the heat will make further work impossible. The dawn is just beginning to break into the pale blue that is the precursor to the gold of the rising sun. Already the urgent cackle of the partridge-like Franklin, what the Bushveld locals dub government chicken, as their ready source of dinner, can be heard from the riverbed. The air is fresh and cool, and the grass has been dampened by heavy dew that wants to crawl up my pants. The sun peaks over the horizon, catching the dew as it sparkles in the light. The game path runs along the bank of the river and has been well worn by heavy animal traffic. Lions, leopards, elephants, and hippos use it for easy access to the river. A large, steaming, splattery pile of Cape buffalo dung is dead center. "Whoops, look sharp here," my father says. Also known as Black Death, Cape buffalo are one of the big five, the most prized and deadly prey of big game hunters, all of whom reside at Londolozi Game Reserve. The other four are lions, leopards, rhinos, and elephants. It's been said that buffaloes look at you like you owe them money. Armed with prodigious swooping horns, they've been known not just to attack but to track and ambush hunters and gore them to pieces. They can even run lions up trees. I notice the buffalo track pointing towards us. The buff has already moved past. If we were going to bump into him, it would have happened already. "You're losing your touch a bit," I tell my father. "Too much time in the city, not enough time in the bush." "Tell me about it," he's smiling. Dad looks up ahead. He says, "The guests always say, I'm going back to the real world when they leave, but as far as I'm concerned, this is the real world, and back where they're going is the fake one." Far off, a lion starts to roar. We can hear the distant baritone boom as he winds up, the sound carrying miles in the cold winter air. The glorious rumble, however, is quickly drowned out by the cough and growl of a nearby Land Rover as someone revs the engine. Really, Land Rovers are useless first thing in the morning until they warm up. For a rare moment, the lodge is calm and relatively quiet. The guides who will man the Land Rovers are on the main deck drinking coffee, preparing to take guests out on safari. Early mornings are the best time to find animals, as they like to move in the cool of the day. Tracks from the night before are still relatively fresh, providing critical clues to their whereabouts. Soon the guests will join the rangers on deck. This takes some time, as each guest must be escorted from their room by an armed guard, lest they bump into a lion or leopard strolling down the path. It's quite common for animals to come right into the confines of the camp. We once found a muddy set of leopard tracks on the bar counter. The guests will arrive on deck dressed like they're ready for an alpine experience and be stripping down within an hour as the sun rises. That's August in the bush for you. The trackers are chatting quietly in the car park, listening for the lion's roar, a bushbuck alarm, or the sharp snap of elephants breaking branches. These signs will help them situate the day's main viewing attractions. I'm feeling a little sleepy, as I've been up most of the night repairing a 2-strand electric fence that runs around the lodge to keep the elephants out. Yesterday morning, a young bull elephant discovered that he could use his tusks to snap the wire and gain access to the lush gardens inside, the ones that generations of women in my family have so painstakingly planted. This is a new occurrence, and as far as we can tell, only the one elephant, whom we have dubbed Night Shift, has worked out how to do it. Once inside, he was a gleeful vegetarian at a giant salad bar, pulling out the flowers, snacking on trees, helping himself to long drinks from the pool, and passing wind so loudly outside some guest's room that they phoned the night receptionist and claimed a lion was growling outside their window. He also managed to terrorize some kitchen workers by charging at them as they returned from serving dinner at tree camp in a beat-up old Land Rover that only turns left. The gardens are an oasis in the dry season right now, as the rains won't arrive for another few months. We recycle grey water, filter it, and tip it onto the garden. The results are amazing. Clivias bloom a deep orange in the flower beds, and the scent of the plumbago's tender blue clusters hang thick in the air. The aloes are putting out their long, segmented flowers of red and gold, the nectar attracting droves of sunbirds, which flaunt their red, turquoise, and bright yellow plumage. My grandmother planted the aloes, and each one stands as a little shrine to her. The gardenia trees are dropping their fruit, large, thick-skinned apples that the Inyalas will pick up and chew on like giant gobstoppers, their jaws working furiously beneath the bold slashes of white splashed like war paint across their faces. The flush of all this green amidst the drought has also caused the ebony trees to fruit early, attracting hordes of baboons into the camp to scamper up the trunks and pick the tempting brown berries. This wouldn't be a problem if these furry paparazzi weren't always spying on us like we're celebrities, not to mention breaking into the guests' rooms, destroying our coffee and tea stations, rifling through suitcases, ripping open minibars, and occasionally stealing off with objects they've mistaken for food, like the one caught gorging on a tube of toothpaste. I once spotted a baboon heading off with a brassiere and a handful of cookies, perhaps to gratify some unknown fetish. Yesterday, one ran off with a woman's passport. Maybe he was planning on some travel.